Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. I want to give you just a short summary, a wrap-up of what happened the last year over in Africa. I'm home for a short furlough, and we'll be going back. And we have had successful crusades in four countries over there. I started out in Tanzania, in Dar es Salaam, a city of 6 million people. We did a seven-day crusade there. I preached 5 days of the seven. And we had thousands come. Many got saved. Many got healed. Many got delivered. It's a Muslim stronghold. Dar es Salaam is home to 6 million people. About 40% of them are Muslim. And so it was a great opportunity to preach to the Muslims there. Many came to the Crusades. And we're going to be going back to Dar es Salaam this year and teaming up with a worship leader by the name of Bonnie Moitegi. And Bonnie is very famous all over East Africa. He's like the Chris Tomlin of East Africa. We're going to be linking up with him and do a five-day crusade there in Dar es Salaam. And so that's going to be in August. We're looking forward to that. Then last year I went to Burundi, to Ngozi, my third time to Ngozi. And we had many come. We had 30,000 people come out over 3 days. Tremendous crusade. Many people got saved, many delivered, many healed. And going back to Ngozi this year, only we're going to be right in the city of Ngozi and instead of out in the country. And we're going to do a three-day crusade there in Ngozi this year and pray for continued success that we've had there in Burundi. And then also went up to Naka Valley in October in Uganda, in southwest Uganda. There's a big refugee camp that has 150,000 refugees from Sudan and from Congo, from Rwanda, and from Burundi. And we did a three-day crusade and pastor training. We had 350 pastors come out there for the pastor training. And a wonderful crusade, had several thousand out each day. Had rain one day that hampered things a bit, but for the most part had many people come out, many salvations, had about 10 different churches that participated with us with their worship teams, and so it was a great crusade there in Naka Valley as well. In addition to those three major crusades, I also preached a church revival in Gisenyi, Rwanda, to a group of churches there in Gisenyi, and we met in one particular church and had a five-day crusade there. It was very good. Like to go back to Gisenyi this year, and also preached in churches all around Mumias in Kenya and in Nairobi. I preached in Nairobi a few times, and also the Mumias Maoni area. I preached there in many different churches, and so the Lord was good to me. The Lord protected me, He kept me nourished, kept me protected, and the provision was good. We also made great progress in the building of the Living Water Orphanage. We have the main house constructed, the house for 40 children, and just a month ago we had a team there from Kansas that came and helped me install a solar pump and the solar panels, the water system, and so now we have fresh water flowing in the taps all over the Living Water Orphanage site. We have taps into the main house and the caretaker's house, the livestock pens, and for irrigation. And so we have a beautiful water system. The water is crystal clear and it is drinkable, coming right out of the taps, needs no treatment. And the spring is running now about 10 to 15,000 gallons a day. And we're capturing the spring water and then pumping it up with the solar power to a big tank 500 feet up the hill. And so God has been good to us there too. We've been able to build a security fence now around the site, the top 2 acres. And then also we have hedges, thorn hedges planted all around. So it's going to be beautiful all around the fence. Lots of eucalyptus trees, lots of fruit trees, mango and avocado, orange, lemon, papaya. And we are making a beautiful place for the children where they can come to know Jesus, where they can be safe and secure and be raised up with good food, good water, good teaching in the scripture. And we're going to be able to send them out into the world with some good training, vocational training in gardening and mechanics and all this. And so we're Looking forward to getting the children. We still have paperwork to do, and we still have the interior work to do to finish up the house, the stucco, the paint, the electrical, plumbing, windows, doors, all that interior. And so if you'd like to make a Kingdom investment, that would be a great investment to bring the Living Water Orphanage to completion. And it's going to take another $10,000 to $20,000 to finish everything up the way we want it. And that is nothing for God. He can bring that to us. And so if you've been a participant in funding that project, we thank you. If you have not yet participated in it, we invite you to do that and make a Kingdom investment. Given, it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together, spilling over, it shall be given into your bosom, and with the measure you measure out, it shall be measured unto you. And so we invite you to join in that project. We'll have contact information at the end of this broadcast. Well, that's a summary. If you have any questions about the Africa Mission, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, or contact me through Facebook message, and I'll get back to you with answers regarding anything that you have questions about regarding the Africa Mission and the Living Water Orphanage Project. Well, today, Resurrection Day, Resurrection Sunday, the Lord's Day. John spoke about the Lord's Day, Revelation 1:10. He said that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So all over the world, this day is recognized as the day of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is a day when Christians in every village, every city, every place in the world celebrate the risen Savior. Jesus went to the cross. He shed his perfect, precious blood for us, his sinless, perfect blood, that our sins could be forgiven, that we could be washed clean and come before God with a clean conscience. But the real key to the Christian faith, the real key that let us know that Jesus had power over death, that gives us confidence that we can have power over death, that there is life after death, and there is resurrection life for our own resurrection bodies. We can know that because Jesus himself was resurrected. When you go to the tomb in Jerusalem, you will not find Jesus there. You will not find his bones or anything left of him there. Jesus was resurrected, and he was a witness to many people in the days before he was taken up to be glorified. He was a witness to witnessed to by many people, and they talked with him. They knew him. They knew that he had been resurrected. It was a fulfillment of prophecy that he spoke over himself many times in the scripture. He prophesied his own resurrection. Well, if you have your Bible there, turn it to John. We're going to look at John chapter 11, the resurrection chapter, I call it, one of the resurrection chapters in the Bible. And Jesus has been informed of his brother Lazarus, who has died, and Jesus said that our friend Lazarus sleeps, John 11:11, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. And Jesus spoke of Lazarus' death, and he was confident that no matter when he showed up, when he spoke over Lazarus, that he would be able to raise him from the dead, because Jesus knew even then his power, that he had the power of the Son of God, that he had power over death, that he had power in the resurrection. And so Mary and Martha are in a quandary about all this. They were saying, Jesus, you should have come sooner. You should have been here sooner. You could have stopped Lazarus from dying, or you could have raised him quicker if he was not dead for so many days. At this point, he was dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to Martha in verse 23, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But that wasn't what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about your brother is going to rise again right now. And I'm sure Martha could not conceive of that. But that is what Jesus was talking about. And he said to her in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And then he went on to say in verse 26, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And Martha said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And so This was Martha's confession of faith, that she believed that he is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God. And beloved, each one of us has to make that confession. Each one of us has to come to a point in our life when we have to declare who we believe Jesus is. Each one of us has to come to a point in our life in the valley of decision when we have to say, not only to Jesus and to God, but we have to say to ourselves and to the world, who do I believe Jesus is? Is Jesus who he says he is? Is he is the Son of God? Does he have power over death? Does he have power to resurrect me from the dead life that I'm walking right now? Maybe you're dead in your sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So maybe you are walking in death right now. You're a walking dead person. Some of you out there listening today, you're trapped in drugs. You're trapped in lifestyles that are death to you. You know that if you keep going in that direction, if you keep into that lifestyle, you're eventually going to come to a quick death, and you are looking for deliverance. I say to you today, Jesus Christ has the power. He has the authority. He has shed his blood to forgive you of your sins, and he has the power to raise you from your dead life. And so Jesus spoke to Martha, and he says, if anybody dies but they know me, they are not going to die, but they shall live. And through me, they're going to live. Well, beloved, we are all going to die. Every single person that has walked this earth up until this point, at some point, they either have died or they're going to die. My friends are going to die. Your friends are going to die. Your family is going to die. You're going to die. I'm going to die. We're all going to die. But Jesus said, if you know me, if you know me, if you have confessed me, then if you die, you shall live. And so we can live for Jesus. We can live for him now on this earth. He gives us life to live an abundant life here on this earth. He gives us the joy to live with joy. He gives us peace to live with peace. He gives us a peace that passes all understanding and is a peace that we cannot know from the world, we cannot obtain from the world, but we can know it through Jesus Christ. We can know it through our association with Jesus when we make that confession of faith and we say, Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are, the Son of God, and I believe that if I confess my faith in you, that I will live for all eternity with you, just as you promise in your holy word. Well, Martha made her confession, verse 27. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And so you need to make your confession. I've made mine. I can't make anybody out there give their confession. I can't make anybody confess. I can't make you get down on your knees and repent of your sins. But I urge you, beloved, the days are growing short. The time is growing short. And you don't know when your last day on this earth is going to be. You don't know when your last day to go to work or to see your family or anything else is going to be. And I urge you, if you're in that place of the valley of decision, I urge you to make a decision today to accept Jesus and to take him up on his offer that his blood has covered your sins and that you can live with him for all eternity. Well, the resurrection chapter, or another resurrection chapter, is 1 Corinthians 15, when the Apostle Paul speaks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he speaks about it in verse 20, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. He says, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Well, what he's speaking of there is that sin came in by man, sin came in through Adam and Eve when they were in the garden. They were in a perfect and a sinless environment, but because they gave in to the temptation of the devil, then sin came into the world, death came into the world, and all of us live in this fallen world, and we try to do our best and function in this fallen world. But, beloved, you know it's a wicked and evil world. You know that the devil is the ruler of this world. Look around at the cartels that are running countries. Look around at the sex traffickers that are running countries. Look around at the people killing each other with guns, knives, machetes, or however they want to do it. And so we know that we live in a fallen, wicked, sinful world. But Jesus says that he has come to overcome the world and to give us the way to overcome the world in our own life. So in verse 21, Paul says, since by man came death, he's speaking of Adam there, by the second Adam, or by man, also comes the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Verse 24, then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. Well, what Paul is speaking of there is the rapture. When Jesus comes back to gather up the church, to gather up the believers, we are all going to be resurrected. Our resurrection bodies are going to be caught up out of the grave. We're going to meet Jesus in the air, but he says Jesus is the first fruits. He's the first one to go. He's already gone, and everybody else is number two on up to 3 billion or whatever your number will be. If you know Jesus, when he comes to rapture the church, you're going to go with him in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen quickly. That's why if you're in that valley of decision, you need to make a decision. You need to get off the fence and make a decision, because the rapture could happen at any time. Jesus could come back to gather up the saints. And if you get left behind, brothers, you're going to be in a world of hurt. You're going to go through the tribulation, and it will be very difficult for people to come to know Jesus at that time. And so Paul goes on to say, after we have been resurrected, he says here in our resurrection body, this is the way it will happen in verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, he's talking about our physical body, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so Jesus went down to hell. He went to Hades. When he was in the tomb, his spirit went down and he preached to the prisoners down there in Hades. And he took the key away from the devil of Hades and death. He took that key away, and he liberated all the Old Testament saints. It tells us about that in Ephesians 4, chapter 4, 8 through 11. He liberated the Old Testament saints. He set them free. He said, brothers and sisters, let's go to heaven. I have the key, and I'm going to unlock you from your holding place. My blood is sufficient for your redemption, and my blood is sufficient to set you free. And you believed in me, and now your reward has come. Revelation 1, verse 18, when Jesus appeared to John, he said, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. And then he told John to write these things. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. Well, beloved, there's going to be a glorious wedding supper, marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. And if you're a believer, you're going to be raptured out and you're going to be taken to heaven with all the other saints and sit down with Jesus Christ, with Paul, with Moses, with all of the apostles of the Old Testament and the apostles of the New Testament, and you're going to be sitting down with them and sup with them and dine with them. It's going to be a glorious banquet. And we know, beloved, that Jesus has taken the sting out of death, because when he went to hell, he took the keys away from the devil. He released the Old Testament saints. And in Matthew 27, chapter 27, verse 52-53, it says that many of the Old Testament saints, many of the saints who had passed, who were dead at that time in Jerusalem, they came up out of the grave, they walked around Jerusalem, and people saw them. It says many were revealed at that time after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we know that Jesus wanted the people to see that he had power over death himself, that his tomb was empty, and also the tombs of many others were empty because they had been released from death, and also Jesus had taken the Old Testament saints out of their holding place in Sheol, out of Hades, and he had led the captivity captive, and they sat down with him at the right hand of God in heaven, and they are waiting for us there this day. If you go to heaven tomorrow, if you go to heaven next week, you're going to see the Apostle Paul, you're going to see Moses, you're going to see David, all the Old Testament saints, you're going to see them there, and they will greet you, and you will be overjoyed, beloved, to be there with them. Well, that last verse in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And so I leave you today with this charge, with this challenge. Resurrection Day 2018, I leave you today with this challenge. Beloved, be steadfast, be immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. If you're a believer today, I ask you, be steadfast, be immovable, stand on your confession of faith, stand on your belief, stand on your witness, your testimony. Find something to do to move the kingdom forward. Find something to do to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus in your life. You're going to be gone someday. I'm going to be gone. And you want to stand before the Lord with a clean conscience. And you want to stand before the Lord and say, "Lord, this is what I did for you. This is what I did to bring glory and honor to your name. This is what I did with the talents, with the gifts, with the money that you gave for me. And I'm giving it all back to you, Lord. It's all yours. And so take it. I'm giving it back to you." Well, beloved, it's been a joy to me to be able to serve in Africa. And I'm able to do that because of your gifts, because of your tithes, your offerings. I'm able to do that because of your prayers. I love working over there with the African people. I love working in the Crusades and working on the orphanage project. I invite you to come and visit me over there. We have a team coming in July. If you'd like to be a part of that team, it's still open. We can take a couple of more people. And so I invite you to come and just see what's going on over there with Gather the Outcast Ministry. But I want to know, want you to know that I appreciate everything. Prayer that you prayed, every offering that you made, and I invite you to be steadfast and immovable, not just for the kingdom of God, but also with Gather the Outcast Ministry as we move the kingdom forward, not only here on this radio broadcast, but in Africa and in several countries in Africa. And may God be with us, may God be with you as you pray about your part in moving the kingdom forward. Well, we're going to have contact information here coming up at the end of the broadcast, so stay tuned for that. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.